Discovery Bay Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken. I'll let the record reflect that all members are present.
All right. We are on a teleconference, so I'm not sure if there's general public available or not, but this is the time for public comments about anything that is not on our agenda. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address us? I'm not getting any response, so I'm going to close public comments at this point and move on to discussion items. C1, staff, please.
Gregory Harris, how are you guys doing?
Great.
So, as you know, we were going to bring a motion to the board a week ago and decided that since there's some related topics, they both impact costs of the new education project, we wanted to bring them both together so that the cost impacts can be reviewed in their totality of what they're doing. There's two options we want to talk to you about today. One is C1 and then the other one is C2. They are separate, but they both are done as part of the Dune Education Project, so they ultimately impact the cost of the Dune Education Project. So the first one is C1, and that is supplemental aeration. And you may or may not recall, but we talked about it before. The master plan was done, and as part of the master planning effort, it was identified that there was some likely deficiencies in the oxygen delivery system for the wastewater treatment plants based on the loading the plants were seeing. And the equipment also wasn't, I'll say, quite behaving right. It was drawing too low amperage, but told us that it wasn't putting enough oxygen into the water. So the master plan essentially said, okay, that issue is going to have to be dealt with as part of the denitrification project. Even though it's sort of a separate issue from denitrification, it was, hey, I gotta be able to have enough oxygen in the ditch. And then beginning last year, well, even a year or two ago, we started seeing, like, on the holidays, Thanksgiving especially, New Year's, Thanksgiving, New Christmas, the treatment plant would have trouble keeping up with the oxygen demand at the treatment plant. And that is reflected in what's called dissolved oxygen, and it's a sensor in the oxidation ditches that measures the amount of dissolved oxygen in the ditches. And the biology in the ditch is just like people, a little smaller, but they got to breathe, and they need oxygen to breathe. And if you don't give them that oxygen, they stop working for you, and then they stop doing the job you want them to do, which is to treat the wastewater. And if it lasts long enough, it can affect your permit compliance. You can have a violation. So far, we've had some pretty long periods. We've had some periods of, you know, 8-9 hours of lack of oxygen in the ditch. And it really came home starting last November. Now, starting last November, we saw them every single day through the holiday, starting November up and through January. And then even after January, we see them three, four times a week where the oxygen goes to zero in the ditches. And so that shows us that the loading in the plant is high, but the rotors aren't keeping up. So the master plan recommended that before you design something, make sure you know exactly how much your oxygen deficit is and do a study. So we did what's called an oxygenation study. We hired Redmond Engineering that was approved by the board. And in that study, we found out that the oxygen deficit was worse than anticipated in the master plan by about a factor of two. And so since then, since the report came out in March, Herwitt's been working with Stantec and et cetera to identify the best course to provide that is supplemental oxygen. So we call it supplemental oxygen because you get some oxygen from the rotors, but we need more oxygen with the rotors getting out. And we started to look through a whole list of laundry list of alternatives, generation, diffusers, new rotors, liquid oxygen, things like that. And really the only two practical ones came down to installing diffusers with a blower system at each oxidation ditch, or replacing the rotors at each oxidation ditch. And then we came up with a cost working with the vendors and what those two things might cost. And then we came up with sort of pros and cons of each approach. There is a capital cost difference between the two alternatives, and then there's operational cost differences. In your staff report, if you turn to the second page of the staff report, The base cost for alternative one, which is diffusers, is 1.207 million on top of the table. It's easy, it's just look at the table. $1.207 million. And there's a couple ways to help pay for that. The master plan had assigned $640,000 for supplemental aeration, so we already had a budget created for it, $640,000. We've also determined that we don't need to build the launder covers at Plant 1, since those clarifiers would be rarely used. And so we said we can nix that line item to help pay for this. And you end up with a sort of net deficit of about $479,000 for alternative one. Alternative one is the diffusers and the blower option at all three oxidation ditches. Alternative two is more expensive, it's $2 million. Again, we have $640,000 that was originally signed in the master plan is in the CIP. Again, we don't have to build the launder covers at Plant 1. But it also turns out that at Plant 1, we knew we had to do rehab work there on those rotors, on the existing rotors, and there was a budget of $480,000 to rehab the existing rotors at Plant 1. If we're putting in new rotors, we don't need to rehab old rotors, and so we get a credit of another $480,000 that we don't have to spend if we go with alternative 2. And you end up with a net cost increase of $844,000. The difference between the two alternatives is $365,000. So no matter what alternative we pick, we're going to have to increase the budget for the denitrification project. The difference between them is $365,000. So that's the cost implications. If you go to the third page, that's a breakdown of those costs. I'll go through that later if you'd like. But it's sort of a breakdown of the costs. I've highlighted in yellow the capital costs. It turns out there's not a lot of O&M cost differences, but there is more maintenance and there is more operational issues with the diffusers and the blowers. And then if you go to page 4, we have sort of the pros and cons. And we have seen this list before, but I'm going to just kind of go through it briefly. Again, alternative 1 is the diffusers and the blowers. Alternative 2 is the new rotors. And pro for alternative one, it's the cheapest. It's the cheapest. And we and because we knew this was going over budget, we did look for an alternative that would be what's the least cost we could make it work. I mean, the bottom line, get job done, spend the least amount of capital. And that is the diffusers. That is the pro to that. The sort of cons to diffuser is now I have two methods of oxygen delivery. I have the rotors and I have the diffusers. I have blowers, so I have three pieces of things that I'm trying to coordinate to deliver that oxygen. So the operations is more complex. And then the rotor operation is still dependent on ditch level. Annual diffuser maintenance is required. So the thing with diffusers is they're rubber. They're rubber membranes with little tiny holes in them. And there's like 700 of them. We put those in the ditch and we bubble air through them. But they require maintenance. And part of the maintenance issue is when we take a ditch out of service, they can't sit in the sun the whole time. And so that creates an operational challenge for how we rotate ditches in service and how we operate the facilities. And then it turns out that our existing rotors are really inefficient and we end up keeping those low inefficient rotors under this alternative. Also, the site had never planned to have blowers installed, so we're going to have to wedge them in. It won't be pretty, but we can get them in there. But it isn't going to be like, hey, it's great access, and it's all this nice layout. And then one of the other issues is any rags or stringy materials are going to hang up on the diffusers and create problems with maintenance on the diffusers. And then, of course, cleaning the basins. Once you mount the diffusers on the floor, you don't have a smooth floor to clean off when you take a basin out of service or clean the grid out or anything else. So essentially, we end up with a lot more operational issues with those. One thing that's not listed on this list is, and I sort of remembered, I should have thought about it sooner, when we did a block of the plant yesterday or 2 days ago, and we were at the air compressors for the filters. And the filters filter the wastewater. That's what we built the last big project the state mandated we build. But there's air compressors that provide air to control all that process. And those air compressors have inlet filters on them to filter that air before they control valves with it, things like that. Well, the farmland next to us is getting it to the point where we're constantly doing maintenance on those filters and all those compressors. And Jerry is just reminding me they had to spend $5,000 on that air compressor because we just get too much dust off the farmland next to us. And so we're going to face that problem here as well. These blowers blow a lot more air than that air compressor, and we're going to have a lot more maintenance on those diffusers and things, and the inlet filters for the blowers to keep the dust down. But it was quite a bit of dust when I went looked at it last week. So it is, I'm not going to say it is doable. If you guys say money's it and we just don't have the budget, could I make it work? Yes, I can make it work. Okay. Option two, the con to option two is the most expensive. Again, these are the rotors, and we would replace the existing rotors. The existing rotors would go away. We would keep the FRP covers, we'd lift them up, and we'd keep the existing structure, but there would be new rotors. And as a result of that, there's not a true apples-to-apples comparison, because in some cases we have some older rotors you'd be keeping under alternative one versus alternative two. It's all new equipment. You know? So there's a life difference expectancy there, but rotors have been fairly reliable for the facility. They're not delivering as much oxygen we want, but we've had them running for 20 years, you know, at plant one, actually longer than at plant one, and well over 10 years at plant two. So, you know, they do take the test of time. The advantages of it is aeration efficiency is much, control is much simpler. We have one process. We just turn the rotors on and off, and they control on variable frequency drives. So the DO control is much easier, and the rotors are much easier to maintain. All they do is maintain the belts on the rotors, so the maintenance is pretty simple. In fact, if you ask Veolia, it's you know, grease the bearings, check the belts is all that's required on the rotors. And we'd be putting in more efficient rotors, so our energy efficiency is higher with the new, more efficient rotors. And then from an aesthetics point of view, it's a different style of rotor. Instead of the paddles that slap the water, They're like kind of discs that slide through the water, so there's less violence, I'll say, in terms of how the rotor operates, and a little bit longer life expected because of that. We do end up replacing these little paddles that hit the water. That's usually the other maintenance item on the other rotors, is they eventually break off, and we replace five or six of them at a time. So about that. So that, in a nutshell, is the difference between the alternatives. After discussions with Veolia and plant staff and district staff, Dina and Aaron and Hurwit and Mike Duraca, we've talked this through quite a bit, and our recommendation is to go with the rotor option, even though it's more expensive. We believe that in the long run, it is the most robust option and will give you the longest life and is the easiest for operations. So our request is, if you agree, we would move this to the full board for a vote.
Well, I don't think we have much of a choice. I think that it is the right option. I'm not happy about the number, but I can't do anything about that right now. So we'll have to leave it up to staff to find a way to reallocate resources here and there to be able to afford it.
So I don't mean to kick a dead horse, but we've known for quite a while, you've known, that we had some areas of concern in the aeration. But we didn't, well, I don't want to use the wrong words. We didn't take the path of preparing and managing and planning for that at the cost that we have presented to us today.
Right.
And there's a reason you didn't.
Yeah, the biggest reason was, in the middle of the master plan, there would have been a big time delay pull in the oxygenation test. It took us, you know, 3 months or whatever to get a board approval and then have to, you know, schedule the people, do the test, get the results and stuff like that. And, you know, it was essentially assumed, I guess, in the master plan that, okay, we see some deficiency here, we'll put some money in and then recommend a test. It just wasn't picked up like we could be this far off on the deficit we thought we saw and what we actually made.
So And we rely on you to make those decisions for us, to make sure that we're protected.
Yes.
And you're protected. And in this case, we missed it by a large margin.
Yes.
So I'm trying to understand, that's all. Again, not trying to kick the dead horse, but I got to understand, because we got to make a decision on this. So you knew there was an issue. You had to look at a range of costs that it could hit. That's part of your profession, is to look at it and say it could be $1 million, it could be $2 million.
Yeah.
And so we've got the master plan, and even a waving in the back of the room saying, I've got a concern and I don't have the time to fulfill the test. I don't recall any of that. So help me understand why we got this far past the master plan and now look at this. And I'm not looking for excuses,
sure.
I'm just trying to understand.
So the decision at the time were, there was a belief by us and Stantec that, okay, we could see what the amperage deficits, there's two things that happen. One is, there's an amperage deficit on the motors. And we looked at the amperage deficit on the motors, and we said, okay, based on the manufacturer data, if we're short this much amps, we're short this much oxygen. And we relied on the manufacturer's data. And so there was an engineering design decision made saying, okay, here's the manufacturer's data, how the equipment should perform. Here's how it is performing. And if I take their data backwards, then this is all the oxygen I'm getting, in simple sense. You know. And then this decision was like, okay, if that's all I'm short, there's a variety of ways to get there that aren't too complex if it's this size number. Okay. And there was pump mixing and jet aeration and some of these other ones that could get us there. And some of those are a little less expensive. What we found in the test is the manufacturer's data is wrong. The data they provided us about the oxygen transfer per horsepower is off by 25%. And so what happened was, we're short on horsepower, but then their whole curve is wrong. Okay, so the basic information that was relied on during the master plan was the vendor information provided with the equipment when it was sold to the district. Okay, and they have a certified curve and all this stuff. It's from 1970. The information we relied on. So at any rate, once we go from a little bit of oxygen deficit to this much oxygen deficit, we're in the new equipment. It's a different supply of the problem. It's a different size of problem. And we just didn't anticipate that size of problem. That's what it comes down to. And where we got caught is the manufacturer data is wrong. In fact, the person that came out and wrote the test, he's like, you know, we need to write a paper about this. We need to tell the world, you know, that this isn't performing the way that is what happened, and that's how we got here.
Okay. Is there any recourse to go back to the manufacturer? Is this one that we use on a repeated
basis?
Yeah,
you're way beyond warranty. You're way beyond warranty.
But documentation doesn't have a warranty, and if they boasted about having a spec that was supposed to be there but wasn't,
well, I mean,
it has nothing to do with the warranty.
In theory, you can, you know, in normal construction law and process equipment that we deal with, it's pretty clear if you're under warranty and they provided information to you that, you know, they're going to have to honor that, right? Once you get beyond that, you know, they'll come up with mile-long reasons why the equipment's not working right. You know, that's basically what they can do, is come up with a mile list of reasons why, you know, you didn't tell us you're going to do this, or you didn't maintain, usually what they say, prove to us you maintained it, show us every single record, you know, they start to get into that kind of thing. You know, in general, you're right. If they provide documents to the district that we rely on for approvals, and those turn out to be wrong, you know, then that's what would likely happen now is we'd have a disputed test. They'd say, well, our test records show it's not that way, and you did your test wrong, and you'll turn it into a big fight that way, you know.
I'm not sure that isn't a path we should take at some point, but right now I don't think we need that distraction. What's the lifespan on these new oxygen aeration?
Yeah, the new motors, you know, if they're maintained, they'll be like these. They'll easily go 30 years.
30.
You know, yeah, they'll easily go that. You know, it's the belts. In fact, we won't have to replace, like right now, these paddles. We break them off, and like every 6 or 7 years, we got to replace a dozen paddles or something like that. You won't have that with these because they don't slap the wire like that. But you do have belts. You do have grease bearings. You know, and as long as those are taken care of, I think you're good.
And then on the con, the one con, you have the high efficiency operation requires reversing flow directions. Give me some explanation. What does that mean and why is it a con?
That con, we did a little experiment on that con, and that con goes away. But what is originally going on is one of the reasons the rotors were not performing well is the water goes around in a circle in the ditch, and the water on the inside rotor is going slower than the water on the outside rotor because it travels a longer distance, so the velocity is faster. And so what was happening is this rotor is working really hard, this rotor is coasting because the water is already coming in fast to him, so he doesn't have to work that hard to keep it moving. This guy's working his butt off. This guy's just kind of sitting back there. You know, it's like the guy that backed the bicycle, you know, not working that hard, okay? And as a result, we know he wasn't putting that much oxygen in, you know? So we were thinking, if we reverse the flow of the ditch, we can, because right now they come off this turn. They come off, the water comes off this big turn. It's a big old wide turn, and so you have this big arc coming in right in front of the rotors. We're thinking that big arc is what's doing it to us. We thought if we reverse the rotors, we'd have a long, nice, straight section of water where the water could kind of equalize out and slow down. So we went out and did a test. We reversed the flow of the ditch to see if it worked. And it did help, but it didn't help enough. So now the plan is we're just going to put baffles. There's some baffles that can come with the rotors, and we're going to leave the ditch the way it is.
Okay.
So I just put some baffles in. Okay. So we're actually not going to.
So the way this is worded is
we're not planning to reverse the rotors anymore.
Okay.
What's your recommendation?
Well, I know that we've talked about this for the last couple of meetings, so I as much as I'd like to search, I don't have the skills and qualifications and knowledge that you have, but on paper it looks like the two choices, I am not in favor of choice one, and it worries me that we, and you know I'm not in favor of plant one. So the reason choice one at plant one bothers me is the noise, the potential for noise.
Right.
And if we don't do the noise, we got to buy a building, and that's going to have added cost, and that's going to bring the difference closer. So I would definitely say choice two is the better of the two choices. And again, to your point, is can we find the money and manage this?
Yeah, and so it's discussing with Dina. She thinks it was doable, and that's we needed a decision. From the recommendation from staff.
And I think if we take this up before the board that we have not just your presentation but the financial side, how this is going to be managed,
right.
So the full board can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
With that,
thank
we'll
you.
Move on to C2.
Okay. So, again, these are both being brought to you at the same time because what we don't want is people feel like we ask for more money one time and then turn around next meeting and ask for more money, right? So we're trying to get everything out in the open here. So as we kind of transition to management at Veolia, as you know, and even all the regional players, like Anthony's new and Jerry's new, and they've been throwing out ideas about the project. And actually, you know, we've been consulting with them on this first option of the fusers and the rotors, and their favorite the rotors, but they understand that there's a financial hit to the district to pick up the rotors. So there's been a lot of brainstorming going on behind the scenes to see if there's a way to reduce costs in the overall project. And one of the suggestions that came up was, do we really need the clarifiers at plant one? And is there a way to configure the project where we don't spend the money on the clarifiers at plant one, which is scheduled to be about $800,000, you know, so it's kind of like the same range and number, and maybe that makes this build a little easier. So we took those suggestions back and ran some different models in-house to see what's going on. And the short answer is, yeah, in the short term, yes, you can get by without two clarifiers at plant one, but the oxidation ditch at plant one can't work by itself. It's not an island. The plant one is an island. You know, they're plant two plants are separated enough that it's not really possible to pretend like they're co-equal equipment. It's you have one plant, you have another plant, and the interties between them don't support taking the clarifiers out of plant one and then trying to run the ditch at plant one. But it did get us thinking about, well, if there's a period of time, if there's a period of time that we can run without clarifiers, maybe you can make the decision, make the question of, let's not do anything with plant one, and let's only build an oxidation ditch at plant two. And not exactly equivalent, because, you know, an oxidation ditch with two clarifiers gives you more capacity than just an oxidation ditch sharing clarifiers that you already have with plant two. It's a lot shorter. But the discussion sort of tailored on, but if we don't need that for a long time, if that's 10 years out, you know, then maybe that is still a better decision. You know, maybe that is still a better way to look at the project. You know, so the original charge in the master plan, the original charge in the master plan was, hey, tell us everything we need to service the in-boundary service district, everything inside the service district, and that includes any remaining lots that you have there inside the service boundary. So master plan cranks all the numbers, comes up with 1.64 or 1.63 million gallons a day is what you need to treat everybody in the service district right now, all the spare lots, all the ones that haven't been built, all the commercial, that kind of stuff that's left over. And then based upon that, if it was all at one location, you would need 3 oxidation ditches and 4 clarifiers. But because plant one is idled and away from plant two and the separate plants, if you keep plant one, you really need 1 oxidation ditch and 2 clarifiers to back it up. And then you need what you have in plant two. So then the question was, okay, that's what we need at build out, but what do we need now? You know, so right now, you need 3 ditches because you need a redundant ditch so you can do maintenance. And you need 3 clarifiers, which is what you have, okay? And then somewhere along the way to build out, you need to build a 4th clarifier if you put it in at plant two. So then we realized, well, how long away is that at build out? How far off is that? So I tried to do some calculations. Now, obviously, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know how fast things are going to build, but you guys kind of know how fast things are building out here. And so I did a little calculation to sort of give a feel about what we're talking about doing here. And that is, if all we did was move 1 oxidation ditch to plant 2, we would get capacity of about 1.54 million gallons a day. So you were almost there. You just weren't quite there, but you were almost there. And the difference between those two, is about 936 connections. Excuse me. The difference between where you're at now and 1.54 MGD is about 936 connections. Okay? We would say after 936 connections, you would need to build a second clarifier at plant 2 to be truly equivalent and finish the district. Okay? And you would end up with 3 oxidation ditches and 4 clarifiers at plant 2. So in terms of dollars, it's about $4.5 million, approximate, the numbers are in the report, but approximately $4.5 million to build an oxidation ditch at plant two, and that's all we built. We have some special airtight piping we worked out, and we did some other things, and that's where that cost sits. And then at some point in the future, after 936 connections, we would say you would have to build the last clarifier. Plant two, and that's at a cost of about $2.5 million. Okay, so right now we're scheduled to spend We're scheduled to spend approximately $4 million at plant one now, and the difference between the two comes out to about $500,000 between the increased costs. To not do anything at plant one, like just wash our hands. The only thing we keep up is the influent pump station that we have now. Don't touch anything else. Build a new oxidation ditch at plant two is, say, $500,000 more than what's in the project already, and it's already in the budget. Okay? Obviously, is it equivalent? It's different. It's not quite equivalent because it doesn't quite give you the capacity that the master plan said you needed for build out, which was the original goal. But it's also brand new and not a dilapidated repair. So in the master plan, the $4 million that you're going to spend at plant one is so that it can be maintained in reasonable shape as a backup plant. The oxidation ditch is all cracked up at plant one, all over the place. We can't fix that. It was only a 3-inch liner to start with. All we can do is patch on it and and say, okay, we can run this a couple times a year as a backup to the other plant, you know, but it's not going to get you 24/7, 365 operation like you can with a new structure, you know, kind of thing. So in the master plan, the goal of keeping plant one was to keep it reliable enough, spend enough money on it that it could be pulled in and out of service once a year, kept as a standby to do maintenance at plant two, and kept as a standby for that final capacity push when you need it down the road. Obviously, if we build it new at plant two, we build to a higher, better standard, and we don't have those problems with the broken dish and the other things we can't fix at plant one. You know, it'll be a new conduit, it'll be a new MTC. So your life expectancy is a lot different. That's not discussing the risk at plant one, right? There's a risk of unknowns, which people have brought up before, that it's like remodeling your own house and finding drywall out, right? You go in there, you start doing heavy work, and then you find more problem. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything by saying, oh, there's a special hidden number over there for that, and we'll save all that money. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, but I do believe it's likely true that there is a risk of proceeding with plant one in finding more problems that have to be dealt with that we just don't see until we dig into it. Okay? So I think that's going to occur. That could occur in construction as well as in design. When those two risks become apparent. So the real question then is the proposal for the town is for 10 years we've been talking about what to do with plant one. We've kicked this thing around over and over again. The original question that was proposed to the master plan team is, can we just move plant one to plant two and just put it all over there at plant two and then it'll be new and that kind of thing. The cost that comes back, if you're going to move everything, if you move oxidation ditch and two clarifiers and RAS pump station and headworks, you're going to move all that over there, it was $13 million, and said, okay, we can't afford that. This is sort of a different plan. Like, okay, maybe we don't need all that stuff. What do we just need now? If it's 10 years before we're going to build 936 connections, what does it matter if I got to build one more clarifier 10 years from now, you know, at a reduced cost? I got all the benefit of having everything in one place and having everything new in the initial purchase, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's not apples to apples, it's just different, but it has some benefits. And I think one of the clear benefits, operational-wise, is the reason Plant 1 has not been run, and Plant 1, by the way, I went back and checked our records, has not been run in 5 years. It has not been turned on in 5 years. The reason it hasn't been turned on is it's hard to start it up from scratch. It's hard to start a treatment plant from scratch. You got to remix it, grow over and stuff. And there's a risk that you violate while you're screwing around trying to do that. So being risk averse, it hasn't been run. You know, now, has it been maintained? Motors have been bummed, things have been like that have been going on, but you know, that's not the same as we ran it every year for a couple of months, make sure everything worked right, had it sitting there ready to go. You know, that's not how it's been treated. Now, if we move it all to plant two, we don't need pump stations, we don't need all the stuff, it's integrated into plant two. So bringing a basin on and off line is easy, we just push the water over there, we just push it back, you know, we just bring it and come online. So as a matter of the original intent, it's easier to pull off at plant two because we don't have all this complication between the two plants and the distance between the two plants to keep us from using the spare and just rotating it into service. We just rotate it into service now. It's right there. The water moves easily and allows easy operation. So from a process perspective, in my opinion, it's better at plant two. It's always been better at plant two. The question is always the cost, okay? The difference here is there's a trade-off now. We're not moving at all. We're not giving you the exact capacity, but you know, in light of questions about, you know, can we do this? Can we save money? Can we do this without this? This alternative, to me, has come up with the most legs and is the most reasonable alternative, in my opinion. If it was my plan for $500,000, I'd move. I think you're at 936 connections from now. That includes Pantages. It's 330 for Pantages, which is not started yet. They haven't even turned dirt yet. Newport has not done anything yet. They're farther behind Pantages. And then you have your infill lots and some other stuff. I think Hoffman has like, you know, a couple hundred left, something like that. So you can easily accommodate your three big developers that are entitled, just a matter of process, will serve given, and that's Pantages, Newport, and Hoffman. Right? You can fit them in that 936. After that, it's infill lots, and like, you know, when is that infill lot going to go? When is that house going to go? When that bare lot's going to go? You know, they have their, they have the office right behind the shopping center, right? Well, that's been sitting in the office for a long time. You know, people talk about stuff, but as you can see, you know, Pantages has taken 6 years or something to really pushing hard to get to where they have here. Now they're waiting on financing. Of course, now Phil Light showed up, and everyone's going to slow down and say, okay, when is the time to do this, right? Even if they cut loose and say, go, we're turning dirt, you know, they're a year from starting to sell houses, and even then, you only sell 100, 200 a year, right? So, you know, you divide that by 100, you know, they pretty easily get to start looking at it. It's probably 10 years or more before you would end up having to do it. I don't know the future, but that's just how I look at it in terms of what's a reasonable time frame before you have to come back and spend the other $2.5 million.
If Hoffman didn't have 200 to sell, it would be a longer period of time, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard rumors. I don't know what Hoffman's got. I just know that Newport and Pantages haven't started. I knew they had 400 to get. So I don't know how much Hoffman has.
Yeah, maybe we could ask staff to clarify that. Can we get some information?
My understanding when I talked to Pantages last, that they were trying to get 278 homes out of their development. Newport Point was, I believe, 67?
67.
67. And then Hoffman is almost complete. They're almost at full build out. So that leaves us with, you know, about maybe 400 or 500, and we still have, I mean,
got 500 more to go, and we don't know where they're going.
Absolutely.
To meet capacity to need the clarifiers.
That's correct.
Okay.
So in that light, if you know, it's sort of looking at the problem a little differently. If you look at it a little differently, like what do you need now versus what do you need for build out and how long it's going to take you to get there, it sure seems like there's a lot of advantages to build a new ditch and plant too.
I think we're back to the same question, and that is, from the finance standpoint, how do we now add another? We're already 800 and call it 850 short. Staff said, well, we can handle that. Now we're going to add another 5 on that, so now we're 1.3. If I look out into the future, and do we have capacity in our financing to absorb that during the next? Let's just say it's a 5-year deal, right? Between now and when this will be completed. What's the time frame on that?
So under our permit, we got to be done. We're going to be done in 3 years.
Okay, so
2023. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have the wherewithal to be able to manage that in this 3-year period?
Yeah, we do have some in reserves. We're able to cover this in reserves. Our reserves, compared to the rate study, because we had preliminary numbers for voting for last year, we had an overage. We'll be able to cover it. And it's approximately $1.4 million when you add up if they both go to the top level.
Okay.
Without touching the contingency.
Without touching what?
Any of the contingency.
I'd just like to add on that, how much we actually take out of the reserve is going to be dependent on how much financing we're going to do. We haven't settled on the overall financing for all of these projects. So
those balls
we
are
know
still
we can
here.
Cover it, but how we're actually going to do it is yet to be seen.
Right. Okay.
And we're still probably a year minimum out from doing any financing. So
we've got time to
massage
this a few different ways to make it. Okay. All right.
So I'm both those excited and a little mad. The mad side says, I'll say the same thing I just said. You listening to you sounded like me during the time when we were looking at whether you're going to keep plant one. You had me convinced. I wish I could have done the same going back. But it sounds logical, everything you're saying. I know there's a lot of work in the details, but it lends me to think, why didn't we think of this before? Now, maybe it's because we didn't sit with Veolia and brainstorm a little bit more prior to. We looked at $13 million on top, $12, $13 million. Now we're looking at a lot less. You know I am not an advocate of putting $4 million into a plant that we really aren't going to use. It might be there for backup, and maybe we have to run it over while we do some maintenance. But the thing that scared me in all my dealings and trying to understand this stuff is that I didn't believe $4 million was right. I thought it would be more like $6 or $8 million. Once you open it up, and that's only based on contracting, when you open the walls and you look in the floor, there's a lot more damage there, and that thing is old enough to have a lot more. And I think you feared that too. I hope you feared that because it was a big unknown. So that's the mad part. I'm mad that we didn't have this arms around this sooner. And I think we got to do more about this brainstorming and making sure we think through this stuff. Focus, you know, don't take the eyes off the road anyway. You got a lot going on, not just here, but keep your eye on the road here. The happy side is it's moving in the direction that I wanted it to in the first place, as the only at that time vote against what we had planned, what we currently have planned. So you know you got my support, but I think the details coming into the full board has to be a little more thorough, the budget side as well, so that they're not privy to all the information that you're giving us right now. And I'm sure it'll cause a little discussion, but it sounds like it's a doable.
So, you know, in general, we're going to do what's the right thing for the district.
Yes.
And it means I got to throw some egg on my face or do that. If I come across something that looks like a better way, I'm going to bring it up.
And it's appreciated.
And that's what we're doing. The real thing is, this is it. This is our last bite of the apple. This is our last time we're going to talk about Plant 1. After August 5th, I have to design something. And even as it is, I've already 30% design involving Plant 1, right? I'm going to throw all that away, jump over here and do this,
yes.
Which is fine. We're just going to do that because it's the right thing to do. But we're running out of time. You know, we're running out of time to get this done.
So let me ask on the Plant 1, does this mean that Plant 1 functionally will be dead,
yeah,
other than switching?
Right. The only thing we're going to keep is the effluent pump station, W, and that part of it, and the rest of it, we're going to just let it sit there.
Okay.
And now, people have asked about Jacquini. What's the impact of Jacquini? Jacquini actually shows up.
They're going to put a little money to help.
Out Plant 1, and he's going to build a new Plant 1. That's
yeah.
What's going to happen. So,
All right.
He would have to build a new plant from scratch anyway to make new stuff. Anything.
Yes.
So, the reality is, it makes sense then, let him rip it all out and put it in a new plant. By the way, it's easier for him because he doesn't have to come across Highway 4.
That's right.
He can go straight into the plant. That would be about the right size for what he needs, you know. So, you know, that's what our thinking is on that. And then you're not limping along. I mean, Plant 1 started in the 60s with a pump. Then it was the early 80s they added the ditch. You know, it's 40 years old.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been, you know, for a while, for a long time, it was 24/7, couldn't do anything. We couldn't do maintenance on it because once we built Plant 2, you couldn't do maintenance on that. And it went 20 years with no maintenance, just pound, 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 you know. So, I mean, it took you a long ways down the road, but it definitely needs either a big facelift or we need to move on. You know, those kind of things. So.
Yeah, I was in favor of moving everything over to Plant 2, but I wasn't here for that meeting, so I couldn't advocate for it. I certainly can advocate for this concept here. Like Bill said, we're going in the right direction. We'll build a brand new facility, and we have time to add the other capacity if needed. And we've got a plan down the road if Jacquini comes into play. We need to do it, so we need to move forward. So I'll be pushing in that direction to the rest of the board.
So the action of you guys is the recommendation that, yes, we'll take it to the board for
100% on both,
yes,
both items.
Yes. I just don't see 932, I think is what you said, 900 plus.
Yeah.
I don't see we have 900 plus. I mean,
well, you know, you add in the office park that's not there, you know, and you add in, you know, kind of, but, you know, when we add up every single lot all the way to map,
It's that many.
You get to pass that. Mm-hmm. 932 gets you to 1.54 MG.
Yeah.
You still got another 100,000 gallons to go to what we thought would be build out for the district.
So let's say in 10 years we get to the point where we're at 900 or 890.
Yeah.
And we're thinking seriously, maybe even before that point, what has to be done? You said about two and a half million to
right.
today's
so
value.
We've already worked out a plan for how we integrate, because what I didn't want to do was not move everything, move one thing, but then you're stuck. Like,
yeah.
you can't add the other stuff,
yeah.
right? So we worked out a plan to where you can add the other clarifier,
okay.
and came up with a good budget cost around $2.5 million.
Okay, and space, real estate, you got plenty.
Yeah, okay. We're okay on that. The real thing is the inner ties are complex because, you know, it wasn't planned to bring it in this way.
Yes.
But we've worked out a way to do it.
Okay.
And, you know, it can be done. The other thing is you will have time to collect capacity fees along the way. And it's, you know, 10 years out. And you know, what we found here is flows changed, right? Things changed even with this plant, right? Because last time flows were right here, and now flows are down here. That trend is supposed to continue in California. If it did continue, you know, you might even get here 10 years from now and say you don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, we're on a crystal ball.
Yeah.
All we can do is look at, well, right now, based on what we see right this second, 10 years is a long time for things to change.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
With that, is there any other items that we need to think about for the next meeting? Or
any public comment?
Yeah, we'll find that out. Being that we are on a teleconference, I don't know if anyone else has joined us at that time, but at this point there would be some public comment if anyone would like to discuss what we've been discussing this last 45 minutes. I'm not hearing any. I know we have one or two staff on the line. Is there any comments from the staff that's on the line?
Just Mike Taraka. I support what Gregory is saying here, and it looks like the decision the board wants to make is a very sound decision.
Thank you, Mike, for your input. Okay, with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting at 4:17, and that's it.